As I mentioned before Mass, we're just returning back from having done the pilgrimage with 20 of our parishioners in the Camino Santiago de Compostela. And now we just did the last roughly 100 miles of what is a 500-mile pilgrimage. And that pilgrimage has been taking place since the 6th century. And people have been, so millions of people have walked along this trail over those years. But what's fascinating, in the group of 20 of us, we kind of spread out our own pace and we go at our own pace. And there's this term people use called Buen Camino. Whether you pass them or they pass you, you say Buen Camino, which basically means good journey or good walking or good traveling. And when you do say that, you can hear in them maybe the possibility of an accent that you might know that they might be able to speak English or something. And what we would do is you would try to, say an extra couple words, and then what would happen is you strike up a conversation. And I would walk along with them, either speed up if they were passing me or slow down if I was passing them, and chat with them and listen to their story. And what's funny is all you have to do is ask a couple of questions, and it all comes out very quickly. They just keep going and they want to talk forever. And some of it, so here's the interesting part. Some people are on this, there's over 200,000 pilgrims on this every year. So it's not a small number. And so the section that we're on is the busiest section, because from Sarria onwards, the last 100 miles. But as people are going on, some are doing it for completely non-religious purposes. Like they're just doing a sort of physical challenge. But in there, and you start to ask them somewhere along the way, they've started to think about God. Most often, somewhere along the line, things start to trickle in. And then there are those who are doing it for explicitly religious purposes. And often they're carrying some wounds or hurts from the past, or certain cases, like I remember one person was carrying her mother's ashes and taking it to the ocean to bury her. She had promised to do that for her mother. And then in between, there's this whole variation of people doing it for non-religious or religious, or trying to figure out the journey. But the one thing that I found that was common in all these conversations was that they were grateful for being able to take the pilgrimage. That they were grateful to be there at all, number one. And they were grateful that they were now at, this last section, almost completing it. Now, bear in mind that some people have been walking this for 400 or 500 miles by the time we met with them. And their feet would have been sore and blistered, and they were hobbling along as they walked. And, so gratitude was certainly something that was pervasive. And I think that was what I found, what struck me, was the attitude of gratitude, if you would, opened their hearts to a spiritual presence on the journey. And I think that did immense sort of working of the Holy Spirit, worked to their grateful hearts. I think that's what the Lord is trying to talk about in this gospel today, is that when we have a grateful heart, then we are open to God's presence in our life, God's graces in our life. That when our heart is not grateful, it's very hard for God to break through, because, well, we have all sorts of opinions of ourselves and of others. But when we realize that we are grateful, then things change. Our hearts are open. Now, look, I don't think any of us would ever readily identify to the 9 lepers who got healed and never came back. We all want to identify to that one that came back and said thank you. But truth be told is that we're honest with ourselves. We're more like the 9 who went on their way than the 1. I mean, not that they were always like that, but I think that, let's face it, you're all here on a Sunday morning, so in one sense I'm preaching to the choir, you've come back. Majority of Almaden is still sleeping. And most, like all the Catholics, like we only get a fraction of the Catholics of Almaden to come to church on any one Sunday. So you are the remnant, at least of the 10% that come back to say thank you this Sunday. But how often do we skip a Sunday? Or indeed, maybe skip any other day of the week to say thank you to God. You see, the part that's important here is that these 10 lepers that run to Jesus, they know that they call him Master, Lord, Master, have pity on us. The better translation there would have been, have mercy on us, show us your love, would be actually the Greek translation. Lord, Master, show us your love. And so they knew he had power. They had faith to that. And he even had faith enough that when he said, go show yourselves a priest, which would have meant, I will heal you on the way. They leave believing they were going to be healed. And in fact, they are healed. But only one comes back to say thank you. And Jesus focuses in on this and says, and even that one is a foreigner, is not one of the ones who have been given the grace of the scriptures, of a Jew. And so in there lies a message for all of us is that, you know, we have to spend some time thinking about how blessed we are in our lives. And I think all of us get caught up in distractions. We become complacent. I mean, all of us. I mean, I don't know how many people I've anointed or I've sat with for counseling over a period of time, a difficult time in their life. And then they were all grateful, and they come to church for a couple of weeks, maybe even a month, and then that's it. I'll never see them again. And because why? Because everything's okay now. I don't need God. And I think all of us cycle in and through things like that. We become complacent, and certainly the people who aren't here probably are falling into that trap. I mean, I'm just as much a fault of it as you guys are. Like, I remember specifically, years ago, I used to always thank God for the gift of my senses, the five senses, because at some point in time in my life, I had lost one of each of those five senses for a short period of time. But I remember specifically, a couple of years ago, do you remember when I had that headache, that really extreme headache, you might remember? But I had that headache for 2 years, 2 months, and 3 days. Not that I was counting. But it was brutal. Every day to wake up with this crucifying headache that ranged from on a 5 to 10, on a 1 to 10 scale, a 5 to 8 every single day without relief. And I remember pleading and praying with Jesus saying, oh, look, Jesus, take this pain away and I will never forget you. And I will always say thank you for my gift to my health. And so when the pain left, yeah, for a couple of weeks, I was absolutely every day, oh, Brie, thank you, thank you. And then a couple of months, every other day. And now, a couple of years later, I'm forgetting to thank him for the gift of my health. And I've done nothing for that health. I mean, I tried to take care of myself, but ultimately, it's in God's hands. And so how much of us take the things we have in our life for granted? Our health. Our family and the love that we share with our friends and our family. The gift of indeed this community. What a precious gift that is. The gift of electricity. How many of us have ever up until this week ever thanked God for the gift of electricity? I don't know if anybody's ever thanked God for the gift of electricity. That's just taken for granted. And yet when it was gone this week, I heard lots of cursing, all right, but not blessing. How often do we thank God for the gift of running water? The gift of shelter. So many things that we have that, by the way, most of the rest of the world don't have. And we just go around complacent yet we are so blessed. That's where I think we need to return to get a sense of, because we call it the stewardship of God's graces, the stewardship of God's gifts to us. That if we don't realize how gifted we are, then we're not going to be in a position to offer our gifts to another, to share their gifts with them. That way we don't give because other people have needs. We give because we have a need to share the gifts that we have been given. And we're just stewards, temporary stewards of the gifts that we've been given for this time that we're here on earth. And so once we realize they're all has been blessed with that, these gifts we, then out of gratitude, out of joyful gratitude, we're willing to share those gifts with others. Our time, our talent, and yes, even our treasure. Now, October, we do this annual stewardship appeal, and we talk about asking you to give the gifts of financial stewardship. And you will hear, you'll get a letter from me asking you to commit to another year. And we'll ask you to commit to it a little bit more than last year. And we want you to do that. But the place, I want you to think and pray about first the gifts that you've been given by God before you move to that point. Because you won't be able to do it. Or if you do do it, you won't do it joyfully. And that's incredibly important that we do it from a place of joy because we have been blessed. Now this year we got a kind of a three-prong, this year has been called making the most of our gifts. So we ask you to do three things. You may only do only two of them, but to ask you to consider giving electronically rather than in a check. And that's just to explain this is for everyone because the amount of time it takes us to process a check is we get charged more from the bank. Everything is charges. And when we get electronic payment, we don't have to deal with those charges. Much easier in stewardship of our time and effort. The second thing, for those who are working, most of your companies have matching gift programs today, even to religious communities. So we ask you to check your company and see if they have a policy of matching gifts and to apply for that. And so it will maximize, it will make the most of the gift you're given. And those who are retired at 70 years or older, 70 and a half years older, you can take out what's known as a qualified charitable distribution. You're required to take out of your 401ks a certain dollar amount, and that you can assign that through that, which will save both you money and will allow us to again, make the most of your gifts. But in all of this, the place to start first to be is that we want to be grateful for what God has first given us, blessed us with an abundant amount of gifts, that we want to be that one leper that comes back to say thank you. And that's what we do when we come to Mass each Sunday. But we need to do it as a daily life. It's to make it a routine of our life to be grateful for all that God has given us. Because unlike the nine that leave and have faith but still walk away, we want to be the one that comes back to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have given us.